So you might have seen a story yesterday about squirrels with bubonic plague. And you thought to yourself, go blank yourself, 2020. That's, I think, how most people feel about this year. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. If there's something that we should be worried about once every 100 years, it's all happening here in the year 2020. Okay. Rebecca Fife is our friend. She's an urban wildlife expert and director of Landmark Pest Management, research director at Landmark. And Rebecca, thank you for joining us. In moments like this, we ask you about all kinds of varmint over the years here. And what am I supposed to make about the bubonic plague? What am I supposed to think about that?
Do you want the good news or the bad news first? I'll give you the good news. The good news, Ro, is that last year I joined a team of scientists at the DeVee Center for Wildlife Disease Epidemiology at the Lincoln Park Zoo and at the Field Museum, and we combed the fleas off of 300 frozen rats that were trapped in every different neighborhood in Chicago. And we took these fleas and we sent them to a genetics laboratory where they were tested for bubonic plague, and they were 100% negative. So that's the good news, is Chicago doesn't need to sweat this right now.
Hold on. Stopping you right now. Hold on. Wait. How many rats?
A few hundred.
And they were, and this was recently caught, but now frozen?
Last year, they were frozen. They were rat-sicles, basically. We took them out of the freezer.
Trapped rats that were frozen. And then you went and you tried to figure out, and the fleas are what carry the bubonic plague, right?
They are. So we took tiny Barbie combs, like a mustache comb, basically, and we combed these frozen dead rats. We combed all their ectoparasites off, all their fleas. And we sent them to a genetics laboratory to look for different viruses, bacteria, and we were specifically testing for plague, and they were negative.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Now, the bubonic plague, as I understand it, now that, of course, that's the plague. That's the plague that everybody thinks about from the Middle Ages that was not a lot of fun, killed a lot of people.
Black Death, exactly.
The Black Death. And they didn't understand exactly what it was. They didn't realize that they, especially when people were starting to live in urban environments, and that's exactly how this thing spread, because the rats followed, and then the rats got the fleas, and the fleas had the virus, and the next thing you know, everybody's, going. Is bubonic plague a virus or is it bacteria?
It's a bacteria. It's a bacteria called Yersinia pestis, which the fleas carry.
Okay. So, and then people were, getting sick because there was no way to treat it, and they didn't understand what it was, and they came up with all kinds of reasons, and they were always wrong. But then we finally figured it out. Now, the bubonic plague, however, has never really gone away, has it?
No, it hasn't. And, as you know, July 11th, town of Morrison in Jefferson County, Colorado, a citizen noticed about 15 dead squirrels on the ground and reported it to the municipality. So the municipality grabbed one of those squirrels and tested it. Lo and behold, it's positive for bubonic plague. And it made national headlines, as it should, because, plague is definitely a concern. And it's pretty common in Colorado, actually. But it's not common in tree squirrels. It's common in prairie dogs.
Prairie dogs are like big rats, aren't they? They look very much like them.
Pretty much, yeah.
Are they
paunchy rodents?
Yeah, are they? Their prairie dogs are rodents, right? They're not.
Yes, they are.
Canines, yeah. Okay, so are we to be worried that bubonic plague, if we get it, we're going to die, or is it treatable?
So about 50% of people who get it die if they don't get medical treatment. But with medical treatment, it's reversible with antibiotics. So as long as people seek treatment early, if they develop flu-like symptoms and they've been hiking in an area like Colorado that has bubonic plague, they should, make sure to let their doctor know that they were recently in an area, outside of Chicago, and see if, that's something they need to be screened for. Mm-hmm. There's a really crazy story, actually. So Pope John Paul went to Denver in 1993 to host World Youth Day, and it was at a really beautiful place called the Cherry Creek Reservoir, and they were going to bring 500,000 people to the park to see the Pope. Mm-hmm. And the only problem with the park around Cherry Creek Reservoir is it's totally infested with prairie dogs. Like, you can step in a prairie dog burrow everywhere you walk. So they were really afraid that these 500,000 people were going to get the plague, basically, from being bitten by the fleas coming out of this burrow. So Denver, you know, was really eager to, you know, show the world that they could safely host this event. And they hired a guy to come out with, you're not going to believe it, Ro, it's a vacuum truck.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. They're sucking the prairie dogs up through the vacuum truck?
That's right. It's a horrible picture, isn't it? But yeah, so that's what they did. So he went around the park with this gigantic vacuum truck and sucked them right out of their burrows. And then they put a pesticide in the burrows called deltamethrin that killed the fleas. And this way, 500,000 people could go see the Pope in safety without getting plagued, basically.
Oh, my God. Now, did we have to freeze the prairie dogs? What do we do with those? Not like, do we recombing them? Okay, I want to.
Oh, no, I wasn't part of that project. I just combed Chicago's rats.
Oh, all right, Rebecca, could you hold on for 1 second for me? If you have a question for Rebecca about a pestilence near or around your home, because I do, and we're going to do that on the other side, you can feel free to call the Team Hochberg phone line 312-981-7200 and ask her a question. And she's a font of knowledge, we just learned. She knows all kinds of things. So if you have if you're having a problem, I'd like to, you know, I don't know that we can beat what we just did in terms of weirdness or grossness, but go ahead, give it a try. The pestilence editor of the Rokan Show is with us right now, Rebecca Fife, urban wildlife expert and research director at Landmark Pest Management. And Rebecca, we were initially wanted to talk to you about the bubonic squirrels in Colorado. And it turns out, yes, there is bubonic plague in squirrels in Colorado, which is very unusual because they're normally, as we learned in the prairie dogs, which are not dogs. We also learned that. And then
yeah, chipmunks and ground squirrels too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what we found was that that at one point, because Pope John Paul II was coming to Denver, they had to suck prairie dogs out of holes with a gigantic vacuum. Things we have learned from you, and that was just in 5 minutes. I can only imagine what we're going to learn moving forward here. Let me just throw this out at you. I live in the city, and I've noticed an increase in urban wildlife, and I'm using that term loosely. I mean rats running around, and not small rats, sizable. You know, this is the city. We grow them big. More so in daylight than I have seen them. I think we talked to you about this a couple of months ago because the food chain has been interrupted for them. They are becoming more brazen. Is it a summertime thing, or are they going to be like this till further notice?
I think that there's plenty of garbage for them to eat, and spring and summer are the time when their breeding rates are at their highest. So they're out feeding and breeding, and we're seeing a lot of them. But the city does a really good job of controlling its rats. So if you see burrows or anything like that, just call 311 and they come out and bait them for you and reduce the population in your neighborhood. So it's important to make a complaint so they know where you're seeing the action so they can direct their efforts there.
And you mean action in all senses there, because they really are out. That's why they're out in daylight, because normally you don't see them during the day. If you see rats, you see them at night.
Yeah, rats are most active starting around 8 p.m. and then until about 5 p.m., but they're definitely also out during the daytime, just in much lower numbers.
Now, what are the ones who are out there during the daytime doing? Are they just getting home for the night? What are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, I see them, you know, running from burrow to burrow or coming out from behind a dumpster. It's probably some kind of feeding or mate-seeking behavior. It's just very, very few rats are out during the daytime compared to how many are out at night.
Okay. I don't even know why I ask you these questions. All right, let's to the phones we go, 312-981-7200. Troy, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Troy. Troy? Oh, Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Time. Yes, I'm calling. I'd like to know about how to get rid of bed bugs.
Hi, Troy. That's a really great question. So when someone has bed bugs, there's actually nothing that you can buy over the counter to solve your bed bug problem. So don't go to the store and get something, because all the products that you buy at the store for bed bugs, alcohol is the active ingredient, because alcohol can kill a bed bug if it's sprayed right on that bed bug. But the bed bugs hide in cracks and crevices and wall voids, so you could basically spray that around your place all day and it would not solve your problem. So you need a pest control professional to come in and apply a treatment that has a residual action for you. There are hundreds of licensed pest control professionals that serve the city of Chicago. So you can look on the Illinois Department of Public Health's website, and you're looking for someone who has a structural pest control license. And there are probably some providers right there in your own neighborhood. You can compare pricing. Just make sure that the person you choose is licensed by the Department of Public Health Structural Pest Control Division and that they have insurance. And if that's the case, you can go ahead and use them, and they'll be able to solve your problem for you.
Is there an increase in bed bugs? Because I know a few people have gotten them recently, and it seems that this, more so than I've heard, is there something about the pandemic and the way that people are living their lives and the way they're living around their homes and stuff like that that's increasing the possibility of that?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're seeing is, you know, as we take Chicago's home housing insecure population, people who don't have a home, and try to give them some space so they can shelter in place and bring them into shelters and things like that, that their bed bugs tend to come with them. So we're getting a lot more calls to help shelters because they're trying to get, you know, people in. So we have a really huge uptick in bed bugs, not because there's more of them, but because they're being addressed in a population that was just kind of having to live with them before this intervention started happening. And, you know, people will hang out on trains. They'll hang out in public buildings and, you know, we'll go in there and we'll get them. There was an attorney who had bed bugs all over his pants and he called me, and it was because he was sitting in a restaurant booth drinking coffee, and when he got up, he saw them on his pants. So he took the booth, lifted it up, and looked under the booth, and there was, you know, 100 bed bugs clinging to the underside of it that had crawled onto his pants. And it was, you know, because the bed bugs were feeding on the people who would go and sit in that booth.
You know, I thought you had grossed me out in the first segment here and that I was going to be completely freaked out. You've outdone yourself, Rebecca. Outdone yourself. So you can get them. I've always heard that, though, like movie theaters, although, you know, movie theaters, people less likely to be going to that right now. Also, other kinds of places. But I just know it's a weird circumstance here. If people are getting them, you could have them in workplaces, right? You could have them in, like you said, restaurants, other public transportation. And if you get one, that can just start an infestation if that one is pregnant.
Yeah, I got bed bugs one time. I was at a really high-end Airbnb in the Piedmont region of Italy, and I woke up just covered in bites in this beautiful Airbnb. And sure enough, there were bed bugs. I took all of my clothing, ran them through a hot dryer, treated my suitcases, and you know, didn't bring them home with me, but I sure got bitten to pieces by them.
All right, a guy wants to defend the prairie dog. So let's do that for a moment, because everything else has been quite disturbing. Tom, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, listen, I'm a semi-retired trial lawyer who's stepping forward here pro bono to represent the vast population of prairie dogs, who science has discovered has one of the most intricate languages of any of the animals that we study and look at. It was a very interesting series on the one of the educational networks recently about the prairie dogs and how they work as a family, how they have an unusual sense of smell against predators, and how they have an unusual language that assists them in warning their colonies all about, and they all get up and do this in unison.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Where they pop out of the hole.
Disney movie.
Right? Where they all pop out of the hole simultaneously.
Yeah, they pop out of the hole, but there's always one who's the lead, and a couple come up after. And when the safety's gone, they have this unusual vocal sound, which is very different. They have other sounds for different things.
Yeah.
And they all will get up and do this crazy bow, consistently letting all of the rest of the prairie dogs know that whomever the predator or the threat was,
yeah,
is now gone. I mean, it's hysterical. It should be a Walt Disney. Should be a Walt Disney movie. So I understand and I respect your guest. However, I got to say, those little guys are cute little guys.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate it. Your amicus brief has now been filed. Do you feel bad about talking about the sucking of the prairie dogs right out of the holes?
I would feel bad doing it. I don't think I could watch it. I know that machine is opaque, but I just kind of imagine it being transparent like the Pope Mobile and seeing them tumble up into there. But I don't think that was actually the case. But he's right. Everything he said about prairie dogs is true. And they're also really ecologically important because they create habitat for a lot of other animals. So plague is actually really bad for prairie dogs. It can completely wipe out colonies, which compromises, you know, their ability to create habitat for other wildlife. So it really is ecologically bad. And plague actually isn't native to our continent. It came here from Europe in the 1900s. So the prairie dogs were rocking and rolling in America long before, humans brought plague here on ships.
So when we started this conversation talking about the story out of Colorado about the plague squirrels, and we have a question about this. You were talking about tree squirrels versus ground squirrels. Are ground squirrels chipmunks?
Chipmunks are a kind of, ground rodent, but there are some specifically called ground squirrels as well. So if you go to national parks and things, don't feed chipmunks and other little ground squirrels. That's a way to potentially get plague.
Oh, my. Really? And do we have plague in this area?
No, not that we've found. There was one human case in Chicago in 2009, and the person actually died, but they didn't get it in the wild. It was a laboratory worker who was working with an attenuated strain in a laboratory, and they must have, contaminated themselves, and they passed away from it.
So bubonic plague is still quite deadly if you don't treat it, but it is treatable because it is a bacteria that can be treated with antibiotics?
Exactly.
All right. Okay. I wanted to leave this, Rebecca, on some up note. I didn't know how to do it, but I figured we had to do something here because this has really been, this has been disturbing on every single level, but that's one of the reasons that we have you and that we love you. Rebecca Fife, thank you very much. Urban wildlife expert and research director at Landmark Pest Management. And it turns out the bubonic plague squirrels are in Colorado. Just be on the lookout for them out there. Rebecca, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Earl. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. I just know that I feel better now knowing that I actually feel better about anything. I was going to try to make something up, and I can't because
I feel all itchy now.
Yeah, because we went from squirrels with bubonic plague to sucking groundhogs out of or prairie dogs out of prairie dog holes because the Pope was coming to town. Honest to God, true story, if you missed it. I guess you got to look it up. You got to Google it. And then somehow we ended up with bed bugs and then back to prairie dogs. And then somebody who died in a lab because they got bubonic plague. Happy Wednesday, everybody.